The question is, what happened to the formation of educational policy and action in the field of education when India became free?
Yes, and my other question is that at the time of independence, when people were really aspiring for freedom, so there was something very noble and beautiful inside them. And so where did it all fritter away as soon as you got independence? What happened to all the dynamism in people? Why did it not translate into action in free India?
First answer is that not many people had expected that India will become free so soon. It is not sufficiently realized that in 1942, Quit India movement was started. It is not sufficiently realized that among all the leaders of India, Mahatma Gandhi was first of all not prepared to accept the ideal of complete freedom of India. Today people may not recognize what I am saying, but this is a stark fact.
He was not prepared to accept that
India should be completely free. He wrote a book called Hind Swaraj. It needs to be read again. He wrote when he came from Africa to India. At that time he wrote that book. In 1929, Nehru pressed for the idea of freedom of India. And in Lahore session, it was accepted when Gandhi was absent.
It was in his absence. Yes, because he had recalled the non-cooperation movement.
Not only that, he had gone at that time for a conference in England. There was a roundtable conference in England where he had gone with princes and nawabs and any other people, and there was still a negotiation going on.
Right.
He was not asking for complete freedom of India. That conference was not for that purpose. It was to arrive at some kind of a concession, some kind of compromise, that kind of conference. And he had gone to attend that conference. And Nehru was not at all pleased about it. During his absence, Nehru got this resolution passed that we should have complete freedom.
Purna Swaraj, right.
Now, that Purna Swaraj proposition was put forward in 1907 by Tilak and Sri Aurobindo in Surat Congress.
Yes.
It was not adopted at that time, and only in 30 it got adopted. So you can see the mood of our leaders, even at that time, after Gandhi's return, this idea was still not pressed. Only in 42, he said, now I have to say quit India. So, now this proposition is not understood by people. They said that Gandhi said quit India, India became free. They don't know that he was the last one to speak of it. It was already too late. And it happened at a very unfortunate moment. So, and even then, they were not sure whether their call will be received by the Britishers at all. It was like any other call. They had not expected any result at all. They were not even expecting that allies will win the war. So what is the question of expecting freedom of India to come? They knew Churchill was the Prime Minister of India. He was totally opposed to freedom of India. The people who were leading at that time, Gandhi and others, were all put into the prison. After this Quit India movement, all the leaders went into the prison. Maulana Abdul Kalam Azad at that time was the president of the Congress. And from up to 45, 46, they were all in the prison. It was later on that there was a Shimla conference. They were released at that time. And Mountbatten was dispatched after the war was over. Fortunately, war was won by the Allies. Churchill was defeated in the election, which Labour came to power and Attlee became the Prime Minister. And from 1910, Labour Party was pressing for India's freedom. So then, in 46, Mountbatten was appointed Viceroy of India. He had made up his mind altogether. Nobody thought that he will come and immediately the whole thing will change. And the idea of Lord Mountbatten was to partition India. And on partition of India, there was so much of controversy, people never thought that any time freedom will come. They did not know that supposing we become free, what will be our method of working for India's betterment? They were all busy fighting, but not preparation as to what we shall do when we win. In the meantime, India had some brilliant experiments going on in the field of education. One was started by Dayanand, second by Vivekananda, the third by Tagore, fourth by Gandhi, and fifth by Sri Aurobindo Mother. These five great experiments were going on in our country. Tagore had a great influence at that time in India, and he was a great critic of educational system of that time, which he has depicted very well in his article, Parents' Training. It is even today, that criticism is applicable even today. So you can imagine that criticism was alive at that time. Unfortunately, Tagore had died by that time, when India became free. Vivekananda's movement had not taken any roots. Ramakrishna Mission was doing something. It had not produced any new system. Dayananda Saraswati's was not so liberal a system of education. Mm-hmm. Gandhi's experiments were the only experiments which were known to people at that time, called Nayi Talim. It's also known as Vajra scheme of education. He had a scheme of education which he called basic education, or Nayi Talim, or Vajra scheme. It was based upon experiments he had done, first in South Africa, and then when he came to India in his ashrams, and in Vajra, on a linear scale. But he had developed a philosophy of education for India. This was the only philosophy at that time which was known to people like Maulana Azad, Zakir Hussain.
Yes, because he had conducted
some experiments. And in Gujarat particularly, there was some experimental, practical work going on. Naturally, therefore, when India became free, the only model that was available for the new makers was the Wardha scheme. The question is, why was Wardha scheme not implemented?
Yes, because he rented from a Macaulay.
It was going on already, not that they went for Macaulay. Right, so why did this happen? So I am now explaining to you this question. At least one experiment was known to people. It was Tong Tong during the freedom struggle, supported by all the Congress people who came to power. What happened? There are several factors which worked. First of all, nobody was prepared as to what we should do in the field of education if we became free. There was no planning for it. Secondly, our constitution makers, they showed that education is a state subject and not the union subject. So central government will deal not only with education. They took over from the Britishers what was going on in the central government, and there was a small education ministry.
At the time of the British?
Yes. Now, the education ministry at that time, which is Shinobiya, so some kind of educational grant was being given to school systems which had come into existence from 1857 onwards in India.
Okay.
And government was, municipalities were running schools, and some grants were being given to these schools. It was a small little thing. There was no idea of educating every child. Education was being supported by municipalities which had run some schools, and some grants are being given by the state governments, provincial governments at that time.
Correct.
And that was all. The rest was private schools were running also, but very low fee. For example, my school, my fee was 4 anas per month.
So that means during British India, uncle, the schools, private schools were being run by philanthropists, Indian philanthropists who were Indian diehards.
Correct.
Or Gandhiji schools, which obviously were not being given.
So, it was in a very poor condition. Now, imagine Indian minister sitting now in his chair. And he has before him the program of education. Schools are running already, colleges are running, universities, there were 17 universities at that time. And he has no idea that education program or basic education, how it can be incorporated in the present system. He's not thinking about it. A few schools can be supported if at all there are schools, which there are not many schools. So, education minister sitting in his chair, he says, first of all, education is a state subject. Central government does not have anything to do with regard to schools, first of all.
So, actually, uncle, if you look at the psychology of the Indian free man, it was that he was quite at sea.
Exactly. I mean, not only sea, but he was under a yoke.
What yoke?
Of continuing what was going on. And how it can be done.
He
And he was in charge of running schools which were going on at that time. So, and you did not know how, what is to be done. So what happens is that the good education minister comes and says, oh, open more schools. Now you are free. What kind of school, what is going on? There was not even idea with many people, even Gandhi's idea, nobody had tried. It was tried in a few schools, but there was no idea that this can be applied to the whole country. I'm only trying to say that our ministers who came, maybe they had a very good will to do something. And instead of their budget was X amount, they said make it 5X.
So goodwill was there, but vision was absent.
They did not know what is to be done. Education means what? School, more teachers, more buildings, more facilities. That's all. That psychology runs even today. Now let us see the second point. That education was run by education secretaries. They were all ICS officers at that time. Now, ICS officers,
very anglicized.
ICS officers, and they had no idea of what is Gandhian idea of education at all. Maybe ministers had some idea, but secretaries in charge, they had no idea. They didn't think that the education should be changed at all. Even today, how many people think that education has to be different? Education means running schools. And that is all. So run the schools, make them better if at all. More money they need. All right, give more money, open more schools. That question of equity does not arise. So, and to change the system and new kind of system. Now this is only about ICS officers. But now take, for example, at the lower level, right up to the clerks, do you think any one of them has an idea of education system? He is running the school as he was doing before. Maybe there is more money available to give grants, that is all.
Okay.
So it's one important. Secondly, when India became free, one idea of education was really tom-tomed. English language should be abolished from India. That was a big idea at that time. English people, now you don't own English anymore.
You're harsh.
Introduce regional languages. So there came a period when all ministers were all the time prepared mother tongue, mother tongue, mother tongue, mother tongue. And how much money and energy has gone in our country to stop the preponderance of English and to make mother tongue the medium of education at the lower levels of education. So make school educational books written in the mother tongue. So it's a big effort. You have all falls on your head and you don't think their new system is necessary. Only the change is that you change the medium of instruction and write new books in your own language. That is all.
So they are trying to preserve the culture through a language, not remembering that you preserve the culture, you need to do something beyond.
Much better. That idea did not exist. Second was, teach India. India. India should be taught now, not what Britishers are teaching England. In British system of education, the study of England was more important.
So now you teach Indians India.
India. So, start Indian history, Indian geography and so on. Not change of system, and that too, third class people went on writing books. So you can see the level at which education was drowned. We didn't have people who can write authoritative books.
Mm-hmm.
Even today our books are very poor.
Yes.
Compared to what they ought to be. Alright, it's the second problem. The third problem was that we wanted to shift education from only arts and science to some technical education. We wanted India to be technically to be developed, science education. So this was another fad which came up at one time. And also in the school there was science education. And Nehru tried to speak of scientific temper. So scientific temper became the watchword all over the country. These were the great reforms of education that occurred after we became free. I'm not finding fault with anybody. I'm only explaining that we got freedom. We were not ready at that time to see what educational problems we have. Even Tagore's writings were not studied by people. Now, let us go a little deeper. Central government, of course, considers education to be an important matter. Ajmal Azad was education minister. His own idea of education was certainly Gandhian. But his main interest was to run the schools, colleges, universities. Gandhian school education, for example, that concept had to be studied. What can be done had to be studied. So they are going to study the problem, how basic education can be applied in our country. In the meantime, schools have to run. At the bottom, we have to see that there was a dichotomy between two visions of India. A Gandhian vision and Nehruvian vision. And the two visions, even since today, have not been synthesized. There must have, could have happened, but anyway, it's also a factor that Gandhi was assassinated in 1848. So actually he saw free India only for 7 months, from August to January. 6 months. That time partition problem became very grave. Mm-hmm. During that time nobody had any priority for anything else. See, why Sri Aurobindo's partition was a great curse, it is because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
That our entire effort of India was washed out.
Correct.
On the very day of becoming free. We were completely overwhelmed by the problem of partition. Energies of the people, all administration had gone only in that direction. Always think of education. Run the schools as they are running. Nehru had only one idea. Education should be, mother tongue should be of course encouraged. Science should be encouraged. And technical education should be encouraged. But the system of education should be Oxford Cambridge. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Was educated in Cambridge. When school you have gone to Eton School.
In fact, uncle, there was this book of Satyamji in which he writes that one British, somebody by soil or some.
So you can see, among the leaders of India, who were at that time in power, they were neither Gandhians, nor Tagoreans, nor Vivekananda's disciples, nor Arya Samajis, nor disciples of Sri Aurobindo's mother. And these were the five people who had done tremendous experiments in education. So they were not inside at all, anything.
It was almost as if there was a great design by the lower forces to
overwhelm India. Now let us concentrate upon central ministry. First of all, it decided, since school education was not a part of central ministry, they were looking only after a few universities. So they said university education should be strengthened in our country. Science, technology, all that means university system. So soon after that, in 1949, the government of India established one commission to look into reforms of university education. And the chairman of that commission was Radhakrishnan. He himself was a professor of university. He had no experience of Gandhian experiment or Tagore's experiment. He was a product himself of university education. He was a professor of education. He had only this concept. The education means, university education means vice chancellor and blah 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 of the university system.
So that means that as early as 1947, 99% of traditional education, which was all encompassing, had been washed away.
Much before, only by 1947. By 1880, British system had taken roots in India. 1880. And men like the father of Sri Aurobindo had decided that history without no influence of India. In 1872, in 1878, he sent away the children to England. So you can see the influence of Britishers so powerful. So their idea of education was only to make Cambridge University the ideal. That is all. There was no indigenous thought of Indian education. Even Sanskrit Parshalas, they wanted to be recognized and they wanted grants from the government so that they can have the same kind of education which was being given in the British schools. So anyway, Radhakrishnan came into the focus. He spoke of Indian culture. If you read his report, he was a professor of Indian philosophy.
Oh! So he was a professor of Indian philosophy. Now Indian philosophy obviously talks about the
Veda to the present.
Yes.
I give you only one sentence from his book on Indian philosophy. What kind of Indian philosophy he had? What was his idea? Aurobindo Ghosh, he writes in his book on Indian philosophy. He has two volumes on Indian philosophy. Aurobindo Ghosh has given a psychological interpretation of the Veda. Then he describes a few lines. Then he says, I don't quote but the meaning of it. But since Aurobindo's ideas are not in harmony with what Britishers have thought, what Western scholarship has thought of Veda, we hesitate to accept this conclusion.
Oh my, why did you ask for independence then? You should have remained the servants of the British.
This is what he writes in Indian philosophy.
Shameful, but what happened to all the, what Jawaharlal Nehru swallowed it?
All.
It's appalling, Abdul.
It is appalling if you really tell the story of how we have dealt with our freedom. He
in his report, he speaks of, although it was his duty to speak of university education, but a part of it also is school education. He has verbatim from Sharon's book, National System of Education, without acknowledging at any stage that Sharon spoke of it.
My God, he plagiarized the whole thing. And he thought everybody is a duffer, that they will not realize.
Nobody knows. Who has it, that Sri Aurobindo? Since I have read, I can say, this is entirely taken from Sri Aurobindo. Does not acknowledge at all. Now comes the important recommendation of Radha Krishna. We should radically change exemption system in CBSE. But that is impossible. Therefore, we continue with the present system. I am summarizing in a very ironical manner, but somewhat satirical manner. So don't make other people read it. But basic is, education system should be changed. It's impossible. Therefore we continue this. But we should ensure that every graduate knows essentials of all religions of India, which never happened. Now comes the final point. But we should ensure that religion is practice and not thought. Therefore, every class will start with a few minutes of meditation. That was one concrete practical suggestion that comes out of this big commission. Reform in education means that every class should start with 5 minutes of meditation. It's a practice. But to think that meditation will be artificial, you can't meditate just like 5 minutes meditation. Then he says, India should develop, as in England, a university grants commission. So that university system should develop in our country under the guidance of UGC. So this is how India began, with an Indian scholar recommending what should be done for education at higher levels. We did not start with the school level because central government has nothing to do with school education. So why should we deal with school education? Only university education. Therefore Radha Krishna came into the picture. So the next phase went only in implementing his recommendation. It was found that teaching of different religions in their colleges was not practicable. It was not practicable because every teacher will propagate his own religion.
But that's so silly, uncle.
According to Mahatma Gandhi, religious education should be banned from the schools. Teaching of religion should not be the state responsibility. So anybody who receives taxpayers' money for running a school or college should not indulge in religious education. Fine. That was the final point. It was in the constitution also, it was introduced. That's why Radha Krishna wrote a very nice sentence. Said, religious education should not be taught, but religious education is different from education about religion. So we should make a distinction between religious education and education about religion.
How does he qualify for the statements?
Religious education is to educate child how to be religious. Education about religion is to be informed of many existence of plurality of religions.
Right? So we don't have the right to do religious education, but we must inform the child about various religions. I agree with him.
Good. So he accepts. Wonderful statement.
Why did it fail?
Because they found that Gandhi had said religious education should not be allowed. So people were not sure whether Radha Krishna said was right or not. Can you really make a distinction between religion, education about religion and religious education? Radha Krishna said so. But is it really true? Muslims oppose it very much. How can my child learn Hinduism in the college? No religious education at all. Therefore came the idea of minority schools. Minorities said, we want to teach our religion to our children. We should be free to establish our own schools. So government said, all right, do it, but we won't give you grants. Kesha Stevens College and all these things came into existence. There's a long story about it. But anyway, minority schools came into existence. So government said we shall give you the grant provided religion is not compulsory. So this was a new reform. So you can see all hybrid systems coming in India. You can't teach Hinduism. Minority schools are not Hindu schools. Religious education is not allowed. Therefore, you can see DAV schools running. They do something of this kind. Something is going on. Teachers go on telling what they want to tell. But when you come to the crunch, all woolly thoughts. Up till today, that problem is not resolved. Anyway, this is a subject which is woolly. Up till today, there is no clear answer on this question. Why? Because Gandhi said religious education should not be allowed. It's the bottom line. Now, there's a great difficulty among many people who believed in religions and spirituality and all that. So there was some agitation on their behalf. So a committee was set up by the government under Sampurananda, who was at that time Chief Minister of Uttar Pradesh. He was chairman of the committee. Moral and emotional education. Moral and emotional education. Religion is not allowed. So let us speak of moral education, emotional education. So he gave interpretations of all kinds. And they said, yes, moral education is a good idea. Emotional education is a good idea. But what is to be done, nobody knows. It's all holiness. Now, in 1964, means about 14 years had already gone, 1964, Government of India thought that we have neglected school education. There should be one commission which looks into the complete educational system of India. What a good idea. It arises in 1964, this idea. And then we should have a commission to inquire into what should be the pattern of education in India. Suitable for India. And Dr. Koshari was appointed chairman of the commission. A great scientist of India. Who believed in high level of morality. He was Jain. Absolute Jain. Thoroughly. What did they have Ahimsa and Gandhian in that respect? Scientists on the other side, vague believer in system of education that had come down from Britishers. He was a very good friend of mine. We used to talk for hours together. But this is the psychology. System of education of India should basically remain as it is. But something of Ahimsa, his famous one was, Ahimsa and atom should go together. Atom for science and Ahimsa is for all that is religion. Good. So this was one message which came out of the whole report. The second message was that the whole education system should be looked as one. And because our school system is not having the same standard as the Western system of education, and therefore our children have difficulty in migration, and our equation is not so greatly, therefore we should have now 12-year course instead of 11-year school. This is the idea which was given to the country in 66. 2 years they took.
Well, they took 8 years to implement it.
No, 2 years they took to decide. Now, it was not an easy solution because there were schools which were metric rate schools. Then some schools had 11-year school. Then there were 11-year school system. Then there were multi-purpose schools at that time, which had all mushroomed in our country, different systems. Now they say we should have only one system. They say 10 plus 2 plus 3.
It was called the famous AISSCE.
Yes.
All India Senior Secondary School Certificate.
Yes, something like that. So now to equalize all the schools, it took such a long time to bring about a big revolution in education. It meant dismantling of so many schools. Our country is unequal. Anyway, these are very important questions, but I am not talking of those questions. I am just giving you a rough idea, just a small graph in this area. Now, there was a great resistance to 10 plus 2 plus 3 in all the states. So, lectures were organized, propaganda was made, kindly change your school system, make it 10 plus 2 plus 3. It had taken so many years to qualify all the schools in India. Even in Maharashtra, even today, it is not yet done. So, it is not school. So colleges were downgraded, which also ruined the college system. Nobody has seen into all these vivid effects of this, the change which have occurred. But imagine the effort and energy of India, in education energy of India, was spent on what? Not on basic education, not on Tagorean education, on what? Only on this reform. So where is the time available to ministers, you tell me? You become minister and then you say 10 plus 2 plus 3 to be implemented. Why? Education Commission has recommended it. And even if you differ from him, from the commission, what will you do? You can't change the policy of the whole country. So personal initiative of some of the idealists had no place. In the meantime, the Babus who were doing education, they thought education consists of enrollment.
Yes. That is the sad part. No, I mean many things are the sad part, that the idealists of the country never got the voice. The idealists soon after independence was done with.
First of all, there were not many idealists. Secondly, Idealists, when you are consulted, they were within the way. And some of the people who survived, they went on saying, please give us the same equivalence as you are doing. That is to say, the standard of education is British system. Our system should be now measured in terms of your system.
Yes, which is so horrible.
So horrible. So UGC came up with an idea of what is called deemed university. What are deemed universities? Universities which came into existence in the wake of freedom struggle and wanted to establish a national system of education. They also should be given a place in our system. They should also be given place in our system. Therefore, if they are examined by our UGC, who will examine? British people, they will examine. If they find that their value is high and they are doing well, they will be given the same status as the universities. And therefore, they will fall into the pattern of the universities of India, where there was no vice-chancellor, we will have now vice-chancellor, where they were all doing their service without distinction of lecturers, readers, professors, all were equal. No, now you must have hierarchy of
lecturers. So basically all these deemed universities, just to get the stamp of university, they had to undergo a phase change.
And they accepted very gladly. Now we are universities, all people became very happy about it. This is what happened. So anyway, this is what happened to what is called national education. In 1962, I must say, an experiment was made to apply basic education in all the schools of India. There was one Srimati who was the education minister in the central government. Very nice man.
When he says basic education, what does it mean?
Gandhian. He wanted to apply Gandhian schools all over the country.
Within the existing system of education?
No, it was applied. It failed. Applied means what?
Exactly. What do you mean by applied?
You start doing what Gandhi has said. Have basic education, have chakha and some plowing machine and start doing that system of education. There are no books prepared, no teachers prepared.
Then how can you say it failed when you never started it correctly?
But who says?
So this is the thing, that it was all on paper.
Therefore it was said, basic education idea is very good.
But mehnat kaun kare?
But it can't be applied. It has failed. So now that chapter is over. In 1951, of course they said, Nehru was very keen that Tagore's vision should be maintained. Maulana Azad was very, very keen. Gurudev, we should honor him. Vishwa Bharati should have no financial problem. Good. How can you then help a university, Vishwa Bharati? We have a scheme of helping central universities. Yeah. Central government says we have a scheme of helping central universities.
But Vishwa Bharati doesn't fall under that?
Vishwa Bharati was not that university. It was established by Tagore.
So it was a deemed university?
No, not even deemed. So, Maulana Azad came up with an idea. We shall pass an act of parliament. And we shall take over the university, this institution, and declare it to be a university set up by the government of India, and make it give a further title to it, Institution of National Importance. Great honor is to be done to Tagore. In the preamble they said, having regard to whatever achievements have been made by Tagore, we now institute Vishwa Bharati as a university under the Central Government Parliament Act, so that it may become an institution of instruction and examination.
So they have reduced it to exactly what
Tagore was all his life opposed to instruction and examination.
So they have reduced it to exactly what they believe in.
Yes.
So this was their great honor.
They made and they said, Maulana Azad, when he moved the been in the parliament, he said.
But also tell me that when Maulana Azad had such great regard for Gurudev, had he not read any works of Gurudev or his idea and policies about education that he could come up with such a plan?
Who will write the act, tell me? Maulana Azad will write the act.
But he passed it at least.
But who will write the act first of all?
I don't know.
It is Babu sitting inside me. It will come in the morning and only take 2 days are left for going to cabinet. What is the system of education? That bill is to be passed. Order is given to secretaries. Law minister is to be consulted. How to make a university? What is the object of a university? People do not know what difficulties there are. Even if you want to do something, how the government runs. Look, in the education ministry, nobody can draft an act. You are not allowed. Draft has to be done only by law ministry. You just tell them what do you want. You want to make a university? Fine, then how to make a university? It's meant only for inspection examination. Who knows what Tagore wanted? Now, that bill, drafted by him, goes down, comes back to the ministry, goes up to secretary, 2 days are there for cabinet meeting, then it comes to minister's table, for approval. What will he do? Even if he wants to change, what can he do?
But this is, uncle, the whole point, that red tape, the bottleneck, all these...
are realities.
Realities, but... If we just move away from the very, very surface appearance of things, how did it come around? Why all this? Is India sleeping?
It's a very big problem. You asked first of all one question, I will ask you the deepest question.
It's very, very frustrating.
I'll tell you that also story, but later on. Now let me finish what I am saying. I have told you the story of what happened right up to 1970. That education system is not running well. It was tom-tom all from 1947 till 1970. After a big revolution of 10 plus 2 plus 3, all were tired of reforms. In 1973-74, there was a big education conference where Karan Singh was at that time health minister. And he started his lecture by saying, my advice to you is no more changes. We have done enough of changes. Now no changes. Don't speak of changes now. Let us now continue with what we have, what you have done. We only now strengthen of whatever you have done. Finished. It gives the exact indication, barometer, of the mood of government.
Tathaji?
No. First of all, no idea what is the meaning of reform. And reforms, of course, done now. 10 plus 2 plus 3. Reform has been done.
And it shows the fatigue in the mind.
Reform is done, education is changed now, new system has come now. Now what more do you want? Of course there are some Gandhian institutions, Tagore institutions, dimmed universities. The matter is over. Now go ahead.
Implement it.
Now Pitroda comes into the picture. This is the latest. Make more universities, make more modernized knowledge society, but nobody asks the question, what are you doing at the real meat of education? What is education? Multiply, big, magnify, that's all. Multiply and magnify. And they always say quality of education is going down. Quality means more efficiency and more technicality. But man-making education, don't speak about what is man-making education. So man-making education is going on. So, this is the latest. I'm not talking of the middle period still, but doesn't matter. Later on we shall talk about it. But this is where we are standing today.
Sam Pitroda was early 80s.
Even now, he is now the chairman. But now he has come back, he is the chairman of the Knowledge Commission. Yes, yes, he established all missions and all that. He's a good man, very nice man, but the point is, niceness is not enough. What is the cry of the soul of India? Where is that question?
Well, Anto, the thing is that when we read Life Divine and we see matter and spirits, now India has been forging ahead when it comes to matter, the material life. And the dearth when it came to spirituality, the erosion that has taken place over maybe the last 500 years or whatever, nobody is thinking about that.
So, we are even of matter also we are not thinking properly. So, that is the problem. We are not thinking of either of that. So, that is our present plight, you might say. What we are seeking in the 192 Sukhdev we are, is one little voice going out of this small place where nobody will hear.
And so this whole thing, obviously you said this is between us, I agree, because we needed to thrash things out. But the history of educational planning post-independence, in maybe more trimmed down version, should be prepared. Because it is the right of every Indian to know the history.
Yeah, but nobody will write the history in the way in which I have told you.